This is KCUR 89.3. State House Blend is a weekly political podcast that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourself, please.
How you doing? I'm Brandon Ellington, state representative from the 22nd District, and I'm also the chair of the Missouri Legislative Black Caucus.
Excellent. We're glad you're here. Let's play the music.
This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go. And welcome to the production studio here at KCUR 89.3. I'm Brian Ellison, and it is good to have Representative Brandon Ellington, who is a Democrat from Kansas City, with us. Thanks for being here.
No, it's fun. It was almost a tongue twister, though.
It is. Brian Ellison, Brandon Ellington. We're going to see how this goes. And then we have two guests who are both named Dan. Welcome to Dan Curry, who lives in the Troostwood neighborhood. Thanks for being here.
You bet.
He's an attorney and has lots of good questions ready to go. Dan Margulies of KCUR 89.3, also heads up our collaboration known as the Heartland Health Monitor. Welcome to you, Dan.
Good morning, Brian.
So you've been very involved over the last couple of weeks with some of the events going on at Mizzou. You've led forums about that here in town at UMKC. Want to talk about a lot of that and about your work with the Missouri Legislative Black Caucus, but I always like to start by going around the table and asking our guests to share what's on their mind or what questions they have. Dan Margulies.
Sure. Well, Brandon, you know, I think a lot of people, and myself included, were a bit taken aback by the events of the last few weeks at Mizzou. Seemingly, these events arose out of the blue to an outsider like myself, mm-hmm. but that isn't the case. Could you maybe explain for the benefit of some of our listeners the context in which these protests arose, leading to the resignations of both the president and the chancellor?
They have a document from 1969 that the so-called minority students in 1969 actually submitted to the college about improvements of race relations. The sentiments from the students currently today is almost identical to those documents in 1969. So some of the things that the students are asking for is diversity in the classroom, diversity in literature, actually having a university that takes reported issues, the so-called minority threats to heart, and actually addressing those issues, and also having a voice via the student body, and none of it has been addressed. And you have to ask yourself a couple of things. When you have professors that make upwards of $100,000, I'm talking about African-American professors, and they don't stay on that campus no longer than 2 or 3 years, you have to ask yourself, why is somebody so quick to leave a $100,000-plus job? And the professors all articulate the racial climate at the campus and around the campus.
Dan Curry, I want to get you into the conversation here. As you've been following the news this week, what's on your mind?
Well, one of the things that I've been thinking about is I wondered if the protesting students are, do they feel like they're getting closer to where they want to be through the protests? I guess two questions is, what are their goals and do they feel like any of them are being met?
Two separate goals. The short-term goals we got to address immediately. One of the goals was student safety. They felt like they was unsafe at the demonstration site. When we was on campus, the Black Culture Center actually got threatened when we were sitting there. They was complaining about lack of attention from campus police. And what I mean by lack of attention from campus police, it would be a report filed at, and I make up a time, at 10 a.m., and then the security would show up at 6 p.m. And this happened last year, too, with a rape case with a non-African-American. So they're asking for basic things, and they're also asking for immigrant students that come to the school to be made aware of all the different grants and different programs and different classes that they have on that campus. The diversity in the in the classroom is something that we're going to have to work on with the now permanent chancellor. Right now they have an interim chancellor, but with the permanent chancellor and a permanent president. But this goes into the tension on campus. When you have students that are in class and they're talking to their professor and they tell their professor that they're afraid for their life and can I make up a test? And the professor says no. That's scary. When you have threats being made via social media of mass killings, and we've seen mass killings in other states made via social media, and the campus seems not to address that issue seriously. That's scary. In particular, when you talk about the whole demographics around Columbia, around the campus, and the lack of organic support that you feel from administration.
I'm curious about how you got involved on the campus. And you were there with others from the Missouri Legislative Black Caucus.
I'm extremely proactive. So when we looked at what's happening on Mizzou, and Mizzou is one of our biggest recipients of state appropriations. So when we looked at what was happening on Mizzou, we had to go up there and we had to talk to people. So the first thing that I did was organize, me and Representative May, who's the vice chair of the caucus, organized a meeting with the students. And when we got to the list of requests, and we read through the requests, and then we read through that 1969 document, we was utterly shocked that they were similar and nothing happened. So we set up a meeting with the chancellor, went over there and talked to the chancellor. Legislatively, we're definitely going to be looking at the college and what is happening via our tax dollars and what's not happening to ensure that students that are going to our universities are included into that university.
The other place where the General Assembly has some touch on the university is in the Senate's confirmation of the Board of Curators.
Mm-hmm.
Are you satisfied with how the Board of Curators has responded over the last couple weeks?
No, and some of this stuff I can't go into detail about, but what I can say is when you have a chancellor on campus that's trying to work on race relations and he can't implement anything, then it has to come, it has to be restrictions from the person that's over him, and that would be the board.
Well, I'm just thinking, is this a problem that is specific to the MU campus, or is this something that's you see in other colleges around Missouri, you know, like UMKC, for instance?
I should say, in disclosure, that KCUR, which produces this podcast, is an editorially independent station, but is licensed to the Board of Curators of the University of Missouri. And of course, we're housed here at UMKC. Yeah, well, let me tack on to that question. You actually led a forum, an event at UMKC this week, talking about racism, something that had been scheduled long before the events of the last couple of weeks. Compare the situation locally, if you will.
No, I definitely can. The demographics around Columbia is different than the demographics around UMKC. So in Kansas City, we have more cross-connecting between the social construct of the races and also a little bit more understanding of culture than they do in Columbia. So in Columbia, you have organizations that's tied into the KKK, the Knights of Columbus, and all this other stuff that constantly has racist mantras and racist models. And that's one of the reasons that a majority of professors leave, because around that area, the professors, the African-Americans, Latino professors, they're treated with disrespect. They're belittled, they're degraded, and the whole nine. So on that campus, you have already a weird racial element. And that was some of the things that the chancellor was, the old Chancellor Laughlin was aware of and was trying to work on. In Kansas City, we have some issues, but the larger scope is a lack of honesty about the social construct of race, race relations, and deconstructing barriers that have become institutionalized. And I believe the minute we start being more honest about the social construct, race, and culture, because they're not synonymous, they're different. And the minute we start to have open and honest conversations, that's why I did it at UMKC, we can start to break down the barriers. I haven't met a white person yet that we don't have similarities with certain things that we like, certain things that we want to do, and it's the same with the Republicans. We have a lot of differences in ideologies, but when you talk about fundamental core beliefs and fundamental core things that we want, it's almost universal. Now, I do see a lot of social colonization and social separation, and which leads to oppression and ignorance. And I believe the more we're honest, we can start to debunk a lot of the ignorance. And then we can work on a society that's beneficial for everyone as opposed to beneficial to only a small few, while everybody else is working against each other because we believe that we're different.
Now, in an effort to get to know you a little bit better, we always close the show with a song of your choosing.
Oh, y'all got anything something from Tupac?
Something from Tupac.
Don't care what it is.
Okay.
Your mom is nodding his head yes.
The producer says yes. You don't care what it is. We will make the choice. And thanks so much for being here.
I know, it's fun.
Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. I'm Brian Ellison. See you next time.
That was an excerpt from Statehouse Blend, KCUR 89.3's podcast about the Kansas Legislature and the Missouri General Assembly. You can find the full episode by subscribing on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.